you've got a Bible or you have it on your sort of phone or device, please make sure it's the New Living Translation version. That makes a difference this morning, the New Living Translation version. But we hear actually from a guy for whom Jesus was indeed absolutely everything and spent himself because of that Lord.
The reading is from Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 20. And if you haven't got the New Living Translation, you might like to just listen and let the words wash over you. Paul's life in Christ. For I live in eager expectation and hope that I will never do anything that causes me shame. But I will always be bold for Christ, as I've been in the past, and that my life will always honour Christ, whether I live or I die. For to me, living is for Christ, and dying is even better. Yet if I live, that means fruitful service for Christ. I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. Sometimes I want to live, and sometimes I long to go and be with Christ. That would be far better for me. But it is better for you that I live. I am convinced of this, and so I will continue with you so that you will grow and experience the joy of your faith. Then when I return to you, you will have even more reason to boast about what Christ Jesus has done for me. But whatever happens to me, you must live in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ as citizens of heaven. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing side by side, fighting together for the good news. Don't be intimidated by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in this fight together. You have seen me suffer for him in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of this great struggle. Thanks be to God.
I was conscious as somebody was praying that I've had a hurricane named after me this week. I'm not sure how I feel about that, given the destruction that it's caused. But it's just one thing, isn't it, in an awful lot of things that seem to be happening, causing devastation, wreaking havoc worldwide, and causing problems that are going to affect you and I in the days ahead, without a doubt. I mean, you know, crops and that kind of thing. My thoughts have been frequently turning to the coming months. Gosh, what's going to happen? What's life going to look like? We all know about the huge increases in heating bills. And, you know, whilst we were on holiday, we received a notification from our energy company, and our bills are going up four times what they have been. And then there's the inflation running over 10%. And in addition, due to, as I've just referred, war, drought, and floods, crops have failed, yields are down, there are issues of transport and supply. I don't want to depress you, but it's all rather scary, and it's going to bring things our way that we're going to have to face. And we've got to be realistic about that. We need to be realistic and say that we are in incredibly difficult times, and no government, whatever their political party status, has a magic wand for the current circumstances. And with all that in mind, and it has been weighing on me, I read the verses we heard just now. Philippians 1, verses 20 to the end. And I don't know about you, but reading the letters of Paul often pulls me up short in my Christian walk. And makes me think in different ways, because he refocuses me. They give me a different perspective. even though I'll admit to you, they say things that really stretch me and challenge me about my own Christian life. And in the New Living Translation, the verses we heard, and it was very interesting, by the way, Elsie was obviously reading from an earlier version of the translation of the New Living Translation. The second edition has been changed again, and that was the verses that were up there, so that accounts for the difference. But those verses are split into two paragraphs or sections, and if you've got the New Living Translation open on a device or something, you'll notice that. The first section was simply titled Paul's Life for Christ. And then the second section, Live as Citizens of Heaven. Paul's life for Christ and live as citizens of heaven. And they spoke to me, and I want to share them with you, and I hope they'll speak to you. Each of those two sections for me contained a key verse. In the first section, Paul's life for Christ, it's a verse that for some has become quite well known and famous. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. And then in the second section, for me, it was verse 29. You have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege, question mark, exclamation mark, of suffering for him. Now let's look at those two verses and the context and try and capture in for ourselves, in our own lives, what Paul was saying and how it might make a difference to us. For myself, the verses have an impact on our approach to daily life as disciples of Jesus. And even though we might not like it, say something of great importance as we enter an uncertain future. So let's consider Paul's situation, because that impacts what he says. Secondly, let's consider what he says about living for Christ and dying for Christ. And thirdly, what he says about being willing to suffer. Not easy things, but reality. So firstly, Paul's situation. I was reading recently, and some of you, if you use the Christian Solidarity Worldwide prayer diary, might have done the same, of a pastor imprisoned in Cuba. He was arrested and imprisoned simply because he took part in public protests against the government. And he has ended up being not only arrested, but being locked up and being made to serve a 7-year prison sentence. Most of the charges are false, and whilst in the period between when he was arrested and when he was sentenced, his own family didn't know where he was and what was happening to him. Any information was withheld, so his family were just devastated. And it's a reminder that Christian faith often challenges the systems and the philosophy of many governments, and this has been the case since the beginning of the church. You know, we're so privileged to live with the freedoms that we have in this democracy, but over 70% of the world's population don't live under the kind of democracy that we have. And here we find the Apostle Paul in prison because he's come into conflict with the government. And he's there as he writes this letter to the Christians in Philippi. Now, it was a community of believers very dear to Paul's heart. They were based in what was a major city and Roman colony. And they were dear to Paul's heart because during the first time he was there, Paul had spoken to a group of women. And one of them, a merchant called Lydia, had almost immediately become a Christian. And she and her household were baptized. You can read the story in Acts 16, verses 13 to 15, if you want. Philippi was also the place where Paul delivered a slave girl who was a fortune teller from an evil spirit. And in the process, really angered the men who made money from her gift. In fact, they were so angry that they had Paul and Silas, who was with him at the time, beaten up and thrown into prison. That's also in Acts 16. And then, cue one of the most fabulous stories of the book of Acts, Paul and Silas praying and singing in prison, in chains. There was an earthquake. The prison doors were opened. The chains fell off. The jailer was in such a panic about the situation that he was about to top himself because he knew that would he'd be killed anyway. And Paul says, "Well, we're still here." And leads him to faith in Jesus. And then the jailer and his whole family become Christians and are baptized. Also in Acts 16. Well worth reading. So no wonder, that's why Philippi was so special to Paul. But now here he is in prison again. This time in Rome. His life has moved on. But reports have reached him that all is not well in the Philippian church. And despite his own circumstances, locked up in a prison cell, chained up, not knowing whether he's going to live or die from day to day, he is concerned for them. Wow. Can we just note that a second? He's in prison. He's in potentially serious trouble, and yet he's heartrendingly concerned for this group of believers who are hundreds of miles away. Wow. You see, can I make a practical application of that? And that's this. We must never think that any troubles we might have disqualify us from caring about anyone else or render us incapable of serving or helping others. Because so often that happens, doesn't it? You know, we get in trouble and we withdraw. But that kind of withdrawal, beating ourselves up, only often leads us to live in a pit of isolation that gets bigger and bigger and bigger the more we focus on ourselves and our own problems. And sometimes it can even make us press the self-destruct button. In other words, and I'm going to use this word because we often use it these days, if you're feeling crap about your own life and circumstances, one possible remedy is to serve and care for other people. You might have thought about that already. You might not. Paul writes with what I think is the most beautiful openness and honesty about his own situation, whilst also giving us the most incredible challenge in respect of our own walk with Jesus. And a challenge that, it seems to me, gives us a lot to think about in our current circumstances. So, the second thing, we've looked at his context, his circumstances. Let's look at what he says about living for Christ and death. And there, from his prison cell, in those chains, he writes, verse 20, and 21, I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die, because to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. knows? So there you are. Put yourself in this situation. You're sitting in chains, perhaps not in prison, but you're feeling low. Little money in the bank. Cold, miserable, and not particularly hopeful. And somebody comes along and says, "Be bold for Jesus." And your first reaction is, "What? Have you seen the situation I'm in?" Say anything else like that, and I'm going to tell you, probably not very politely, to go. I might even thump you. Because you're not being sensitive to my circumstances and situation. But you see, for some of us, these things might be a reality in the days ahead. And isn't this the kind of time when the rubber of faith has to hit the road? I can swear, I can shout, I can scream, but is any of that going to change the situation I'm in? No. I can't control the circumstances. I can't control prices rising, heating bills going up, the cost of living getting ridiculous. But I can control the way I respond to my circumstances. And that's infuriating to say, but I know, but it's so true. And there are exceptions, perhaps illness and things getting in the way, but as a general rule, I do have a choice. I can determine how I respond. And what's going to help me determine my response? Jesus. Paul's conviction in this regard is what makes the difference to him. And you and I need to do our best to sort of put that on like a jumper. It's not that this life doesn't matter, it does. But ultimately, we are, if we're in Christ, and I hope you are in Christ and are certain of that, we're citizens of heaven. Living temporarily as citizens on earth. And so Paul's attitude is so worth capturing. To me, living means living for Christ. Yet dying is even better. My heart and my mind need to be immersed in the knowledge that Jesus has given me a resurrection life and a citizenship in a new place called heaven. I live in the now for the glory of Jesus, and whatever may happen, that is my focus because it cannot be taken away. But if I lose this life, I gain. I gain. Gosh, that's hard, isn't it? I know. But I gain. I gain the life that Jesus has obtained for me. But one shapes the other. To live life in its fullest sense means living for Christ. But if I lose this temporary life, not deliberately, but through other circumstances, the life I then gain is better. Are you following me in this? Yeah? And so this then helps us to deal with something none of us really wants, but may come our way. And that is suffering for our faith, however it may happen. So thirdly, what he says about suffering for our faith and being willing to suffer. Anne and I once hosted a Chinese Christian lady who had been a leader of several churches in that country. And she was just the most incredible lady because she knew what it was to suffer. On several occasions, she had been imprisoned and mistreated. And I often think of her when reading the kind of thing Paul is saying, because a number of speaking engagements that she did, she would often say that Christians should expect to suffer, and that suffering for Christ should be counted as a privilege. A privilege? You must be joking! But Paul again, verse 29. You have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. I've not been persecuted, beaten, whipped, imprisoned, or mistreated, or starved for being a Christian. But Paul had. Paul had direct experience of all those things, and yet can still say that it is a privilege to suffer for Christ. How on earth did he cope in all he had to bear, and how could he say what he did about suffering being a privilege? Well, again, it's actually there in the text. I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, or plenty or little. And then the key, for I can do everything through Christ, who gives me strength. That's how he coped. That's how we will cope. Through Christ. Through his life within. By the help of the Holy Spirit. Through faith, hope, love, grace, perseverance. The knowledge that I'm a citizen of heaven. The encouragement of my fellow brothers and sisters. That's how I'll get through. But I know that's easy to say. And I know there are many times when it seems beyond us, beyond me. But if I know deep down that in Jesus, all of life is transformed and he will never leave me, then maybe, whatever happens, I will get through and eventually find myself at home and at peace. You know, Mother Teresa, bless her, is quoted as saying, "You will never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you've got." You will never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you've got. So in conclusion, and I know this is really hard stuff, folks, and I'm talking to myself as much as anybody else, but I guess all this points to a key question we need to ask ourselves and answer to prepare ourselves for whatever the future may hold. Am I ready? Am I ready? Is my trust in him so deeply rooted that he will be my hope, my anchor, and my life? And that's not a formula for escape from life's troubles. But it should be perhaps the motor that drives us. This world matters. Life matters. People matter. But ultimately, this world is not my home. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a child of the one whose death and resurrection enables me to tread the pathway of whatever lies before me. So because of Jesus, and because I know through Scripture of at least one person who survived, if not others, I shall take what Paul says to heart. And I hope you can too. These are also Paul's words from Ephesians, and with these I close. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Because, and those two verses are the two verses that precede the verse that I'll now read that we often quote, but you can see it better in context now, I hope. All glory to God, who is able through the ministry of his mighty work, mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. That's good news. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.